Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishneh Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Shabbat Perek Chaf Vav. After discussing the principles and categories of muktzah and other isurei tiltul in the last perek, the Rambam devotes this perek to a discussion of specific objects in order to clarify what parts of them are permitted in tiltul and under what circumstances. Most of these are not objects which we typically use today. For example, the perek begins with a halacha about the parts of a loom, and soon thereafter discusses the use of smooth rocks for wiping oneself in the pre-toilet paper era. We will be selective in the halachot which we learn from this perek, and our focus will rest primarily on parts which explain fundamental principles or which have practical application. We start with halacha bet. Machbedot shel tmara v'chayotze behen shemechabdin behen akarka harei hein kechli shemalachto leheter sharei mutar lechabed b'shabbat levenim shnisharu min habinyan harei hein kechli shemalachto leheter mipnei shruyin lahasev alehen sharei shafinotan umitakninotan v'im tzavarotan harei hikzam v'asur letaltalam. Brooms made from the branches of date clusters and which are used to sweep the floor are considered kli shemalachto leheter, because one may sweep a tiled floor on Shabbat, as we saw in Perek Kaf Aleph. Bricks which are left over after a building project is completed are also kli shemalachto leheter, because the smoothing which is done to these bricks makes them appropriate for reclining on them. But if one collects them in a pile, this shows that he intends to use them for building, and they are muktzah. Halacha Gimel, Cheres Ketana, Mutar Letaltala Afilu Birshut Arabim, Ho'il Uruyahi Bechatzer Lechasot Ba Pi Kli Katan, Megufat Chavit Shenitkateta, Hi Ushvareha Mutar Letaltalam, V'im Zuraka La'ashpa Mibaod Yom Asur Letaltala. A small shard of a broken piece of pottery, as well as a broken pottery barrel cover, may be carried if it has some use. As we saw in Halacha Yud Bet of last perek, pieces of a broken kli may be carried if they have some use, like to cover the opening of a smaller kli. But if one throws this object in the garbage before Shabbat, this act indicates that he has decided not to use it, and it may not be carried at all on Shabbat. This illustrates how certain borderline objects, like pieces of a broken kli, depend on the attitude of the owner. If he does something which actively demonstrates that he has no interest in such an object, then it becomes muktzah. We skip now to halacha vav. Shirei mach tzalaot shebalu, harei hein kechli shemlachto leheter, mipnei shiru'uyin lechasot behen hatinuf, aval shirei begadim she'ein behen shalosh al shalosh, asur letatalan, she'inan ru'uyin lo laniyim v'lo la'ashirim. The remnants of mats, which have become worn out, are considered kli shemalachto leheter, because they may be used to cover up dirt or filth. But a piece of fabric which is less than 3x3 etzbaot, finger breadths, may not be carried on Shabbat, as it is too small even for someone poor to consider useful. When it comes to the laws of Tumah, the minimal size of a beged, which can become Tameh, is 3x3 tfachim for clothes of a rich person, and 3x3 etzbaot for clothes of someone poor. A tefach is the equivalent of 4 etzbaot, so an etzba is between 2 and 2.4 centimeters, a little less than an inch. Note that a piece of fabric measuring 3x3 tfachim is 16 times larger, that's 4 squared times larger, than one measuring 3x3 etzbaot. Halacha chet, delet shehaya la tzir, af al pi she'en la ata tzir, shechina listom ba makom mukze, vihi nigreret, shnot linota besotmin ba, vechein chadakim shesotmin behen hapirza, vechein machatzelet hanigreret, bizman shekshurin utliin bakotel, sotmin behen, vim lav, ein nolin behen, vim hayu gvohin me'ala aretz, nolin behen. This halacha deals with a door which doesn't open and close along a hinge, but rather is detached and set aside for use in covering up the entrance to some outdoor area. In order to use this on Shabbat, it must be clear that the door is set aside for use in covering this opening. This is the case if the door is physically attached to a wall next to where it is meant to be used, or if it hangs from the wall and doesn't reach the ground. From the placement of this halacha in this perek about Isser Tiltul, it sounds like the Rambam sees the only problem with using this type of door to be that of muktzah. But the Shulchan Aruch understands that in the absence of the conditions of this halacha, which clarify that the only purpose of this door is to cover and uncover the area next to it, the problem is that using the door is a form of bone, adding or removing a door to an existing structure. Halacha Yud Aleph, Menorah shel Chuliot, Bein Gdola Bein Ktana, Ein Metatlinota, Shema Yachzira B'Shabbat. Hayu Bachadakim V'Hinireit Kevalat Chuliot, Im Hayta Gdola Hanitelet B'Shtei Yadayim, Asur L'Taltela, Hayta Ktana Mizo Mutar L'Taltela. A candelabra made of component parts, whether large or small, may not be carried on Shabbat, as we are concerned that one may reassemble it if it comes apart, and we saw in Parakaf Bet that this is forbidden. A large candelabra, that is, one requiring both hands to carry, may not be carried even if it only looks like it is made of parts, based on grooves on the outside surface, as this will lead people to think that it is permitted to carry one which is made of component parts. Halacha Yud Gimel, Kol Davar Mitunaf, Kegon Re'i, V'ki, V'tzoa, V'chayotzei Behen, Im Hayu B'chatzer Shiyoshvin Ba, Mutar Lohotziyan La'ashpa O Levet HaKisei, V'zeu HaNikra Giraf Shel Re'i, V'im Hayu B'chatzer Acheret, Kofin Alehen Kli, Kedei Shelo Yeitzei HaKatan V'itlachlech Behen, Rok Sh'al HaKarka, Dorso Lefi Tumo V'holech, U'metatalin Kanuna Mipnei Efro, Afal pi sheyesh alav shivrei etzim, mipnei shehu kigiraf shel re'i, ve'ein osim giraf shel re'i lechatchila b'shabbat, aval im nasa me'ilav o shavar ba'asahu, motzi'in oto. Any piece of filth, including feces and vomit, may be handled in order to remove it from the courtyard in which it is located to an outhouse or garbage dump. This is the concept of giraf shel re'i, or a chamber pot, which came up in the last perek regarding dirty rainwater leaking into a house. There the Rambam said, and he repeats it here, that one may not intentionally create or cause to exist a giraf shel re'i in order to then remove it. But if he does so, the giraf shel re'i may be removed from the premises. Halacha Yudalid. Shemen shiyatsa mitachat hakora shel beit habad b'shabbat, v'chein tmarim ushkedim hamuchanin lischora, mutar lochlan b'shabbat, v'afilu otzar shel tvua, o tvua tzivura, matchil listapek mena b'shabbat, שאין שם אוכל שהוא מוקצה בשבת כלל, אלא הכל מוכן הוא, חוץ מגרוגרות וצימוקים שבמוקצה, בזמן שמייבשין אותן, הועיל ומסריחות בינתיים ואינן ראויים לאכילה, הרי הן אסורים בשבת משום מוקצה. Food is never mukta on Shabbat, and therefore even oil, which only emerged from crushed olives on Shabbat, may be eaten that day. This refers to olives which were crushed before Shabbat. Otherwise, recall from Perikaf Aleph that there is a gzera forbidding the use of any juice which squeezed out a fruit by itself during Shabbat. Similarly, even dates or almonds set aside to be sold may be eaten on Shabbat, and we don't consider them mukta because of the intent to sell them. The only exceptions to this rule are figs and raisins which have been set aside to dry. As part of the drying process, these become repulsive and unfit to eat for an intermediate period, and during this period they are mukta and may not be eaten. Also, the Rambam adds at the end of the halacha, any oil left over in a candle after it burns out on Shabbat is mukta machmat iser, as we saw in the last parak. Note in passing that the Rambam uses the word muktzeh here as the name of a location, hagrogrot v'tzimukin sheba muktzeh, because muktzeh was also the name of a room in which things were set aside that were not meant to be used for the immediate future. Halacha Tet Zayin. Kol shehu ra'ui l'machal behima v'chaya v'of ha'metzuyin, metaltelin oto b'shabbat. Ketzad, metaltelin et haturmos hayavesh, mipnei shehu machal la'izim, avalo et halach. Et ha-chatzav mipnei shu machal la-tzva'im, et ha-chardal mipnei shu machal la-yonim, et ha-tzamot mipnei shehen machal la-klavim, v'chein kol ha-klipin v'garinin ha-ru'in l'machal behima, l'tatlin otan, v'sheinan ru'in, ochel et ha-ochel, v'zorkan la-churav, v'asur l'taltalan. One may carry anything used as food for animals or birds, including various types of beans and seeds. What should one do with shells that cannot be eaten? These should be thrown on the ground and may not be carried. Poskim discuss how to dispose of food remnants, like shells and pits, which are not suitable as animal food. The most practical method is to see to it from the start that these gather either on a plate or on a disposable tablecloth on which there is also some bread. In this manner, the shells and pits are considered secondary to the bread, and may be taken in the plate or tablecloth, together with the bread, to the garbage, where everything but the bread can be disposed of. The Mishnah Berurah also writes that if a large amount of shells collect in one place, to the point where it looks repulsive if they are left on the table, these may be removed as a form of Giraf Shel Ri'i. We skip now to Halacha Chaf, from which point on until the end of the Perek, the Rambam discusses handling a dead body on Shabbat. Af al pi shasur l'taltel et hamet b'shabbat, sachinoto umadichinoto, uvilvad shelo yazizu bo ever, v'shomtin et hakar mitachtav, kidei shiyehe mutal al achol b'shvil shiyamtin, umivin klei mekar uklei matachot umanichin lo al kreso kidei shelo tafuach, ufokikin et nikavav shelo yikares behen haruach, v'koshrin et halechi, lo shiyale, ela shelo yosif, v'ein ma'amtzin et einav b'shabbat. We saw in the last perek that a dead body may not be moved on Shabbat. Nonetheless, it may be washed and covered in oil as long as none of its limbs are moved. We may move a pillow out from under it so that it will lie on the ground and thereby delay decomposing. Similarly, various kalim may be placed on the corpse to keep it cool so that it doesn't swell up. We may prevent the limbs of the body from moving, like tying up the jaw to keep the mouth from opening, but we may not close its mouth if it is already opened, nor may we even close its eyes on Shabbat. The Mishnah Berurah writes that there are some who do close the eyes of a dead body on Shabbat based on a statement of the Zohar which allows this, and those with this custom are permitted to follow it. Halacha Chaf Aleph. Meit hamutal b'chama, manichin alav kikar o tinok, umetaltelo. V'chein im naflad leka b'chatzer shiyesh b'meit, maniach alav kikar o tinok. V'im ein sham kikar v'lo tinok, matzilin oto min hadleka mikol makom, shema yavo l'chabot m'pnei shu bahul ameito shelo yisaref. V'lo hitiru l'taltel b'chikar o tinok, ela l'meit bilvad, m'pnei sh'adam bahul ameito. When a corpse is lying in the sun and will decompose quickly there, we may move it by putting a loaf of bread or a baby on top of it and considering the corpse to be secondary to this other item. In the last perek, when discussing tiltul min atzad, the Rambam wrote that this method of kikar o tinok, a loaf or a baby, does not work to allow carrying a rock that one is interested in moving. Chazal only permitted this subterfuge in order to move a dead body to a place where it will decompose more slowly. The Mishnah Berurah writes that in the absence of these two specific items, some other object of value, like a piece of clothing, may be used in their place to transport the body. We saw in Perek Chaf Gimel that in general one may not rescue objects when a fire breaks out in his home or courtyard. Chazal made a gzeirah based on the concern that he may attempt to extinguish part of the fire in order to rescue more of his possessions. Once he knows that his possessions are lost in any event, there is no motivation to try to lower the flames. But the attachment to the body of a deceased relative is so strong that someone in this situation will in any event try to save the body from the fire. So Chazal exempted a corpse from this entire gezeira, and it may be rescued when a fire breaks out. Ideally, this should be done using the same mechanism of a loaf or a baby, but if neither is available, then it may be saved even without them. Halacha Chaf Bet describes a subterfuge that can be used to create shade around a corpse which is lying in the hot sun and for whatever reason cannot be moved to another location. Two people can sit next to it, one on each side, and each person sets up a makeshift wall, an awning, to protect himself from the sun. Then the people leave, and the walls and awnings they set up remain to provide shade for the dead body. Halacha Chaf Gimel. Meit shehisriach babayit, v'nimsa mitbaze bein ha'chayim, v'hein mitbazin mimenu, mutar lehotzio lecharmelit, gadol kavod habriot, shedoche et lo taseh shebatorah, shehu lo tasur min hadavar sheyagidu lecha. V'im haya lehem makom acher latzeit lo, ein motziin oto, ela manichin oto bimkomo v'yotzin hem. If a corpse begins to decompose in a house, the Ramah adds, even if it hasn't begun to decompose yet, but will in the near future, and the people in the house have nowhere else to go, then they may take the body out into a Karmelit. This is an example of the halachic principle by which kavod habriot, human dignity, overrides any isser d'rabanan. In this case, the isser d'rabanan to carry from a reshut hayachid to a Karmelit. The Rambam doesn't mention kikar or tinok here, and the reason seems straightforward. Since the body is being removed to a Carmelite, suspending what is usually asur midrabanan, it is better to suspend this isur as little as necessary, and so nothing else like a kikar or a tinok should be removed along with the body. This is the opinion of some Rishonim, but others require a kikar or a tinok in any situation of moving a corpse, and the Shulchan Aruch quotes both opinions without deciding between them. We note, just to end, that the Rambam quoted the principle from the Gemara, Gadol kvod habriyot shedoche et lo taseh shebat Torah. The Rambam explains it to mean that any Isser Drabanan is really an Isser Torah, because, this is the Rambam Shita that we saw earlier in other places, any violation of an Isser Drabanan is a violation of the Isser Doraita of lo tasur, not to stray from the words of Chazal.
Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.